Our first song this morning is 246.
So I'm getting it.
246. We're going to sing all five verses of the Man of Sorrows. 246.
Good morning to you.
Good morning.
This is our portion of our service where we give God all the gratitude we can, and if we had more, we'd give Him that too. So let's go to Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that You are our God and You are in control of all things. An amazing thing that You love us, and You love us with a love that we could never, ever even fathom. So we thank You for that, and we thank You for the time we have together here We study your word, and we thank you for this. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you can probably see that we are going to have a communion today, and so we're going to start by me remembering to put this up on the floor. There you go. All right. This is a communion May 3rd, 2026. You know, we are commanded to observe this communion. We find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24 and verse 25. And we are commanded to do this. However, we consider it an honor to partake these elements in a very big way. So that's what we're going to be doing this morning. You know, it's easy to take our eyes off of Christ these days and become bewildered by all the corruption. Are y'all tracking this? I think you are. And so we're bewildered by corruption, deception, and the unprecedented endless lies that we are bombarded with every day. You know, it used to be if somebody told a lie, it was a pretty big deal. Now, if they tell a lie, the people go to sleep because they know that the lies that are going there. Right at the bottom, you see that? The first thing we need to understand is, roll drum, God is the problem-solving business. He's in the problem-solving business. Are you glad that he's in that business? Does he get his business all squared away? Yes, he does. But we have something else also. We are in the trusting and waiting business. That's not so easy to have that business, but we're trusting him and waiting for him. Now, if anybody that knows me knows that the word that I hate most in the English language is wait. And, of course, the Lord knows that. And so he keeps on making me or kind of guiding me to don't be in a hurry. Slow down and wait. And especially wait for him. And it always pays off. So that's the first two things we're going to see here. God is in the problem-solving business. Always has been. In eternity past, if there was any problems, he was in that business. So, and of course, we are trusting and waiting business. I'm going to have several verses today. And a lot of it is going to have to do with remembering. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, now I like to underline all, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Shouldn't we be acknowledge Him in everything? It doesn't matter what it is. We're going to have Him acknowledge. We acknowledge Him. And He will make your path straight. There's different, when you look at different Bibles, some will say other things than your path straight. But it means if you're acknowledging Him in what? All. That's why I said we got to look at that all. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Here's another proverb. I like the Proverbs. They're really, you can learn a lot there. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Boy, that's a boost, isn't it? Commit your ways or your works to the Lord, which we should be doing anyway, and we should be working as unto the Lord. And your plans will be established. The Lord will see to it. Here's one. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 through 4. Now, I've got some helpers in here so you know who is speaking and what they're doing here. I like to do that because it makes it easier to understand the verse. So we have Isaiah 26, 3 through 4. You, referring to God, will keep him, him is a mature believer, in perfect peace. Now I want to stop right there. Do you want perfect peace? I can tell you, I really would like to have peace. And we're seeing the formula for getting it. Not for getting it, but getting it. And so that's really a big thing for people. They would like to, the Lord is, our God is going to keep him, if you're a mature believer, in perfect peace. Why? Because whose mind is stayed on you, God. Can you see how a mature believer operates? And he is in perfect peace because he is not drowning in all the effort to make things go the way they should. All the mature believer does is keep, what does it say, trusting in Him. So, because he, a mature believer, trusts in you, now this is the Lord, verse 4, trusting in the Lord forever. And that trusting the Lord, by the way, is a commandment. And when we don't trust Him, then it's not a pretty sight. But trusting Him is in the Lord forever. For in God the Lord, we, believers who trust the Lord, have an everlasting rock of ages. And that rock of ages is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot in this verse right here. Well, we've got a couple of them. But have you ever heard of the song Rock of Ages? Rock of Ages, that for me. We're not going to sing it. We don't have enough time, and my voice isn't so much. So, anyway, Rock of Ages. I like that. Okay, now we get to the Psalms. Psalm 46:1. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength. Do y'all believe that? Well, if you didn't, you wouldn't be being his favorite. You want to be his favorite, but you can't be God's favorite because every person is his favorite. I don't know how that works, but that's what goes on. So Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength. And now we have a very present help in trouble. Do you ever have a very present help in trouble? I mean, what happens when trouble happens, if you're not a mature believer, usually the first person you go to is who? Yourself. And you're going to figure it out. You're going to get it, whatever it might be. But this isn't when it says a very present help in trouble, and that help is God. Okay, now that we've got that part done, now we're going to see the word remember many times, because that's what the communion is all about, is to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we live in a rat race world, and people don't have time to do this or do that, and they forget the Lord, and that is not a good thing to do. But we'll start here with 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. And this is a command, as you can see. Do this. What is this is observe the Lord's Supper. We are commanded to do this in remembrance of me. And there's another verse that is similar to this, but it's the same thing. I don't know about you, but I look forward to having communion or the Lord's Supper or the Eucharist. Those are all the same thing, just with different names. And I look forward to that. And you might think, yeah, you're thinking about that food afterwards. But it's really a solemn thing. We have the believers, the royal family of God here, and we are all thinking, and when we get to the elements, we're all in one. And that's really a special thing. Our Lord commanded us to observe the Lord's Supper in order to remember Him. That's the command. Which helps us to remember other important things as well. So when you are remembering the Lord, other things will come up. And when you're remembering the Lord, you might have another take on what you had before. So remembering is important. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. Of course, we know that how much greater it is to set your mind on the things above. The things on the earth are nothing compared to things above. The things of earth will pass away, but the things above will go on forever and forever. This world is not going to stay. Y'all know that, I believe. If you read the Bible, know that. And so we're here just for a part of time. And compared to the things above, the things on earth are not so good. However, God, when He created the heavens and the earth, what a beautiful thing that He had. This past Friday, you were on that, weren't you? Yeah. They were talking about how did everything get started and where did it go and everything. And as it turned out, there's a lot of different ideas of how the earth started. But the first verse in the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And with that on, that means that there was never a time when He didn't exist. And I'm not going to get into this too much, because did you kind of have to catch up on what they were saying? It was pretty good. Okay. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I like this part of the citizenship. I put a little bit of something here. How wonderful is it that our citizenship is in heaven? How did we become citizens in heaven, by the way? Don't look either further down, but just in your own mind. The Bible says we are already citizens of heaven. And I'm asking the question, how do we become citizens of heaven? Was it because we are special or better than other people? No, we stinketh just like everybody else. Was it because of special or better other people, or we are citizens of heaven because we believed in Jesus Christ? Boop, put the period there. That is why we are citizens of heaven, and so many reasons as well. So we are citizens of heaven because we believe in Jesus Christ, and by that we became children of God, who has the title of citizens of heaven. So I've always wanted to use that, but I never have so far. When somebody was talking about a citizen, or is somebody in some business, and they said, "Are you a citizen?" I would say, "Yes," and they say, "Good." I said, "But you don't know what kind of citizen I'm talking about." And it's a good way you can even get into giving somebody the gospel, if they didn't know, to let them know that you are a citizen of heaven. By the way, anybody with two brain cells could know that you are much better off with the citizenship in heaven than you are on earth. So, we are citizens of heaven because we believe in Jesus Christ, and by that, we become children of God. And that's no small thing there, who has the title of citizenship in heaven. Okay, this is Romans chapter 8, verse 5 through 6. I was so happy when I finished Romans and that didn't kill me. I thought it was, but it didn't. I'm still here. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 through 6. Those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the things of the Spirit. Verse 6. For the mind set on the flesh is what? Death. People that think it so great their flesh is, I don't think this would be good news for them. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and what else? Peace. That peace is a big issue. Verse 7. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile towards God. And that would be all the people in the world minus Christians. Because they have their mind on the flesh. And they are hostile to God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God. For it is not even able to do so. And what came in my mind when I was thinking about this is they can't subject themselves to the law, for it's not even able to do so. It's like natural things happen when you give the gospel. When you give an unbeliever the gospel, then they can't understand it because they're spiritually dead. But that is also when the Holy Spirit takes over and gives this person the ability to understand the gospel, including spirituality. I said a lot of that for that, but still, you could put that in here. Point five, Psalms 143:5. Psalm 143:5. I remember the days of old. I meditate on it, all your doings. I muse. That's a good word, muse. It means to become absorbed in thought if you are musing. This has other ways too, but this is one for us. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your doings. I muse, means become absorbed in thought, on your work. The work of your hands. Who is he talking about? The works of whose hands? Somebody know? Yeah. I wanted to hear it. Okay. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9 through 10. We have a lot of remembers in these verses. Remember the former things long past. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me. Absolutely. Verse 10. Declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. That is a powerful verse, and I'm so glad it's there. Isaiah 45 and 46. In fact, I have never found any verses like they are in Isaiah 45, but they say over and over again. It's probably like maybe 10, 12, 14 times, something like that. And what they say is, I am God and there is no other. So you can't miss this. It's right there. I like that. God knew every problem we would ever face in eternity past, and He has a specific solution for every predicament and crisis we will ever experience. Now, if you're going to write anything down today, this is what you want to get on paper, because it's mindful in saying that He has the specific solution for every predicament, and that's for you and for me, and crisis will never ever experience. So He is for every predicament and crisis we will never experience, because He is the one that His purpose is going to be established, and we are part of His purpose. 2 Timothy 2:8. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel. Hebrews 13:3. Remember the prisoners, as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourself also are in the body. So He's, first of all, we have remembering the Lord Jesus Christ. That came first. Christ always comes first. And now we have the prisoners and how they were treated. You know, I'm thinking, I'm not going to read Matthew 25, verses 35 through 46, because I can look at the clock and I just don't have time to do it. So I'm just going to go on. Jude chapter 1, verse 17. But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. You might even be so bold as to muse on those. Y'all remember muse? Lamentations chapter 3, verse 20 through 25. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. Verse 21, this I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. If you can call something to mind and have hope, then it's the Lord that's doing it. The Lord's loving kindness. I barely made that in. That's a long word. The Lord's loving kindness, indeed, never ceases, nor His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in Him. Verse 25, the Lord is good to those who, what? What's that word?
Repay.
Oh, got me. Yeah, we'll say it again. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the person who seeks Him. Great is our Lord. Psalm 112, verse 5 through 7. It is well with the man who is gracious and lends. He will maintain his cause in judgment, for he will never be shaken. The righteous will be what? Remembered how long? Forever. You want to be one of those people? You can be. Well, maybe you are already. Verse 7. He will not fear evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Okay. Now I'm going to switch gears here by turning this off. We're going to get prepared for the communion now. We start with unleavened bread. Unleavened bread represents the perfect sinless humanity of Jesus Christ. And we are so glad that it is unleavened bread, because there's a lot of things about unleavened bread in the Bible, and the unleavened is not regarding Jesus Christ. Do you know why they ate unleavened bread at the Passover and we eat it during the Lord's Supper? Do you know that? Well, it speaks of Christ's perfect sinlessness. His whole body. He never sinned. What if somebody said something to him and he didn't like it and he flashed back with a sin? What would happen to us? Probably wouldn't even be here. But he never sinned until the cross, and he was taking our sins in that sense. Anyone can eat and anyone can believe in Christ. Eat of the living bread. And that is, we are going to take the unleavened bread, and anybody can take it. It is a symbol. When you eat of that bread, it is you being the child of God, and it being showing other people that you are a believer by taking that bread. In John chapter 6, verse 47 through 51 says, I assure you, anyone who believes in me already has eternal life. Yes, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, but they all died. However, the bread from heaven gives eternal life to everyone who eats it. So the people that were in the wilderness didn't cross the Jordan, and so God said, okay, you're not going to go. And they all died except Caleb and Joshua. And so the bread from heaven gives eternal life, where if you just are in the other way, you're eating unleavened bread, then you're going to die. Verse 51. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. Anyone who eats this bread believes in Christ, and they will live forever. This bread is my flesh offered so that the world may live. Now we're going to the other one, which is the cup. The cup represents the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for us on the cross. The cup is used, the word cup is used in the New American Standard Version 64 times. And it was used several times regarding the cup. His substitutional death on the cross is the only thing that satisfies the justice and righteousness of God. Nothing else. That's the only thing. Every believer and unbeliever will live forever in one of two places. Heaven. You find that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. That's 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. Or there's the other place, which is the lake of fire. And that's in Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15. Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15. By the way, the ones that go to the lake of fire are going to outnumber by grossly numbers for going there, because so many of them are trying to work their way into heaven, and it can't be done. The cross is the only thing that stands between us and the lake of fire. See, we're born spiritually dead, and if we don't take God's grace and we believe in Jesus Christ, then we'll be in the numbers of those that are in the lake of fire. And you might say that to somebody if you're giving them the gospel. Furthermore, Jesus Christ conquered sin and death on the cross, so they no longer have power over us. How about that? That's good. John chapter 1, verse 29 says, the next day he, John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming to him and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of death. Sin of the world. And he knew, what was that? Why was that such a big deal? Well, there were millions of animals that were they were sacrificed, but their sacrifice didn't mean that much. And when Jesus Christ, notice, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. God had all these animals to be consumed, and that was to show what Christ was going to do. And when Christ came, it was a shock to John the Baptist, and he knew that this was Jesus, and he's the Lamb of God, who, and this is the main thing, takes away the sin of the world. Nothing, no animal, no person, no anything could take our sins away other than Jesus Christ. And why? Because he has the leavened bread. I think, I was saying a while ago that it was the unleavened bread? I might have got mixed up a little bit on that. Anyone can eat and anyone can drink. Eating the bread and drinking from the cup is a public declaration that you are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And that's what it has for us. 1 Corinthians 11:26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. That's why I say when you drink and eat these things, that is showing that you are a believer and you're anxiously waiting for him to come. You don't have to be a member of Country Bible Church in order to partake of these elements. All of us need to make sure that we are free from any unconfessed sins by privately acknowledging them to God, who forgives our sins, so that we are in fellowship with God. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay, let's pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity to remember Jesus Christ in his perfect sinless body, which was given on the cross. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I need to tell you that we will hold the bread until all have been served. Go ahead. Thank you. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripe we are healed. The night before our Lord was going to be crucified, he took the bread and he blessed it and broke it. And he said, "This is my body given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the grace towards us in sacrificing your Son so that we may spend eternity with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, we're looking at the cup now. We turn our focus to, once again, the Lord Jesus Christ and the cup, taking the sins of the entire world upon him. And we are going to retain the cup until all have been served. Like sheep have gone astray, each one to his own way. And he, God the Father, made him, God the Son, to be the iniquity of us all. Excuse me. He demonstrated his love towards us. While we were sinners, Christ died as a substitute for us. On that same... Here we go. It's time to... On that same occasion, Jesus Christ took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you do it in remembrance of me, and take and drink thereof." We're going to sing hymn number 258, which When I Survive the Wondrous Cross. And it's in your hymnals there. And we sing softly in the third verse and crescendo in the last verse. Let us stand as we sing.
I survey the wondrous cross.
Be seated. Okay, we have a little bit of time left. I like to use it all up. And we're in the book of Judges. And you can take your Bibles. I'm going to have it up on the screen also. Judges chapter 2, verse 11 through 12. Judges chapter 2, verse 11 through 12. You can see it up here on the board, too. This is lesson 10, and today is the third. Judges chapter 2, verse 11 through 12. Then the sons of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt and followed other gods from among the gods of the peoples who were around them and bowed themselves down to them. Thus they provoked the Lord to anger. I would say so that he did. And this, there's Judges is mainly having them, and I won't get it tonight, today, but next time they go in a circle and they have their ways. They start out worshiping God and then they get worse and worse and worse. And then they get punished and then they go back and they're starting again with that same cycle. Judges chapter 8, verse 33 through 34 says this. Then it came about as soon as Gideon was dead, the sons of Israel again played the harlot with the Baals. So when we have Gideon dying, he was one of the ones that were one of the good guys. And God would pick certain men to get them out of the association with the people who were in the land around them. And they were all not believers for sure. And when you see the word harlot here, that the sons of Israel again played the harlot, that doesn't mean all the time that it is what we normally think of it, but sometimes it is not going along with what they have. It's kind of a little bit hard to see. So, and he made the Baal Berith their god. So they're just taking God and setting him aside. They no longer care for him or what he's doing or anything. And now they're going to go whole hog into the people who were unbelievers. Verse 34. Thus the sons of Israel did not remember the Lord their God. You see that in the bold? That's how many people do it. You know, some people will get the gospel and they believe it. And they're what we used to say in the 60s, gung-ho. And that means that they're really right on the doing everything they can. But after a while, the mundane day after day goes on, and God doesn't look so big at that time, and they do what these people do. The judges have to try to rein them in, which they will. So verse 34 again. Thus the sons of God of Israel did not remember the Lord their God, who had delivered them from the hands of all their enemies on every side. Did you hear that? That all the things that they have done, and but look what happens. Who delivered, talking about God, God had delivered them from the hands of all their enemies on every side. Did they deserve that?
No.
Why did God do it? Y'all remember that? He says, I will never break my covenant to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And if he let them to go on like that, he wouldn't be having that on the shelf there. Okay, Judges chapter 3, verse 5 through 7. And the sons of Israel lived among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. That's a lot of sites there. And they took the daughters for themselves as wives and gave their own daughters to their sons and served their gods. Now, one of the things I want to point out, Canaanites were the ones that were, I guess, the worst ones. They are in there. Sometimes they'll talk about the Canaanites, and they're talking about all of these, but this is the first one because they were hard to get rid of. And so they are going to take their sons the daughters and give it to the sons, and they're just going completely leaving God in the background. And the sons of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals. By the way, I'm getting it as close as I can. We went over this last time. And the Asherah, that's spelled capital A-S-H-E-R-A-H. And this was, she was the mother of 70 deities. She was, of course, a goddess. And a primary fertility goddess known as Lady of the Sea and wife to the high god El. And that should be a little deal. My font doesn't show the L, but it's there. Okay, now I'm glad we got to this. Anyway, this is what I was talking about a moment ago. Although he had always met the needs of his people, talking about God, they had not obeyed his voice. And now this is how this loop goes. It says, this is the beginning of Israel's hoop of history. And I had to figure out, what hoop of history? Are they playing basketball or what? No, they start, like I said a while ago, and they go here, 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 and here. And by the time they make that loop, they have already done the most devastating, horrible things you can do. And then but God comes in at the end, and they start right over again. So here I'm going to show it to you right here. Number one, they repeated the weary round of forsaking God. So that's the first thing. They were in the right place with God, but over time they repeated the weary round of forsaking God. In other words, they forsook God, and that's number one. Number two, they were just sinning. They could do it, and they did it. They were no longer looking towards God for anything. Number three is being reduced to servitude by the enemy. And so when they got further away from God, their enemies made them servants because they could do it, because they were so weak. We're talking about the Israelites. Number four, returning to God in repentance, that's where they finally said, we are not where we should be. And they repented. They said that they knew that they went away from God. And then number five, believing, being delivered by God's appointed judges. See, that's why those judges came in. They got to the point where they were completely away from God. And then when they repented and wanted to come back, he appointed judges to help them do that. And that's what they do. And then number six is back to obedience to God. So that's where they started up here. Right before number one, they were in obedience to God, and he was serving them and everything. And that's the whole thing in Judges. And all of these, they went on this track. And it was pretty well, poor people were worn out with it before it was over. Okay, I'm going to stop here because I don't have hardly any time left. And I like to, especially on Sundays, give the gospel to people out there who don't know what the gospel is. A lot of people are out there and they think they know what the gospel is, and they don't have the gospel because so many believers are... At least they say they were believers, say so many things you have to do to be saved. But we know that the only thing that we have to do to be saved is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross, and then you are instantly become a child of God. So Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he went to the cross, and he took on his own self all of the sins of us and who else? The whole world. A lot of people never hear that part. So, and I like to say this, it probably makes people mad, but they need to hear it. If Jesus Christ paid for all the sins of the world, then why do people go to hell for sin? They don't. That's it. And that's, a lot of people are working hard to get to that point. However, of course, no one can get to heaven by their own works. God hates that. So Jesus Christ went to the cross, and he paid that sin, and he said this, tetelestai, that's in the Greek, it means it is finished. Jesus Christ came to earth for a reason, and when he finished, he said, it is finished. He went into the tomb for 3 days and three nights. Nothing could keep him there. He came out, and now he offers to anyone that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, they will get the eternity. They're going to live forever in heaven. And God gives this as a gift. In fact, everything that God gives us is a gift. And so there's so many things that goes on, but I want to caution you one thing. If you ever are giving somebody a gospel and they start saying, oh yeah, I know what the gospel is, you got to do this, 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 and this, you have to explain to them that is not what the Bible says. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Let's close. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we can be here with among the body of Christ, and that we can partake of this so great elements that we have and what they mean. We're so thankful that we don't have to worry about not getting into heaven, because it's impossible for us to do that because we are the children of God. So we thank you for this, and we pray that you will help us to use that word that we heard today, muse, that we will be absorbed with your word and learn and grow, and it's all because of your grace. So we thank you for this, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we go, they're going to have that ready. I don't know if it's ready or not, but you all are invited. And if you didn't bring a something to eat, don't worry about it. We don't care about that. We care about you staying here and us to have fellowship between us. And that's it. Okay. It's ready? Okay. Yes.
Can you give a blessing before?
She just showed it here. Okay. Now it's time to go to have fellowship together. It's going to be great. So let's give it grace. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for all the things that you do and the fact that we can be like-minded believers and just enjoy each other and this time so wonderfully. And it's because of you and the Holy Spirit. So we thank you for this and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. She's going to... Kevin? She might not get by that home.